Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally rest on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
I don't want to see either one of you ever again. Do we have a deal or not?
Yeah.
We got a deal.
Going after.
We're done.
We're just getting started.
Nick, who has stabbed Kevin, is now shot by Ortiz.
We need to talk about you having Taran arrested.
I know you consider Taran a friend.
We are more than friends. We're in love.
You've been carrying on with this man behind my back.
Who are these men, Samir?
These are men I have recruited.
We can't get the rods out of the country, so let's use them as a radiological bomb. We'll show the Americans how strong we are.
Farhad attacks one of Samir's men and flees.
Samir! Over here!
There are people chasing me.
They have the rods you're looking for.
I thought you had the rods.
They turned against me. Just get me out of here.
We'll get you out, Mr. Hassan.
When things get this colossally screwed up, people look for someone to blame.
So what have you got in mind?
Renee Walker. She killed one of our main leads.
We're talking about a woman who put her life on the line when she didn't have to.
Well, someone has to pay for this, Brian. I'm sending someone over from Justice. Kristen Smith. She'll take care of everything.
They're setting you up. Don't say another word.
It's too late.
This is over. We're leaving now.
Hands in the air. Do it now!
You offering to bring in Farhad?
Yes. If you drop the criminal investigation against Renee Walker.
If we do this, Jack, it's not for one rescue operation. It's till this whole thing is over and done.
Deal.
The following takes place between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m.
The tall monolith of the UN building is ablaze with lights. Kyla Hassan walks down a corridor with Nabil.
We're about to transport him to the embassy. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you.
He admits her into a room in which Taran sits at a table.
Bashir, clear the room.
Taran, did they hurt you?
Not yet. They won't until they get me to our embassy.
I tried to reason with my father, but he wouldn't listen. He thinks you're involved in the conspiracy with his brother. Even after I told him about us, he doesn't trust you.
You told him about us?
I hoped it would change his mind. But if anything, it's made things worse between us.
Come closer.
She crosses and kneels by him, her expression bemused.
Listen to me, Kyla. There is a way out of this. There are a few men still loyal to me. Bashir is one of them. He's agreed to help me escape. As soon as he's able, Bashir will slip me a handcuff key and he's placed a gun in the car for me to find.
He won't hurt anyone.
The gun is so I won't have to. Once I'm free, I have a place to stay until the Americans grant me asylum. Kyla, I want you to come with me. Meet me at the Teodoro Hotel. Promise me you'll come.
Taran, we need to go.
Nabil crosses to Taran and undoes the handcuffs attaching him to the chair. Kyla stands. She nods subtly to Taran. Taran gets up from the chair and casts a glance to Kyla as he goes out. Dana stands in the semi-lit park. Ortiz desperately tries to resuscitate Kevin.
Cole, he's dead. Just go.
What?
Just go. Nobody knows you had anything to do with this. It's my fault. I lied about everything. Who I am, what I've done. I'll call the police. I deserve to take the blame for this.
Ortiz gets slowly to his feet, his handsome face grave. He stares long and hard towards Dana.
What's done is done. We're cleaning this up, and no one's ever gonna know what happened.
I don't want you involved.
I'm already involved. And we're gonna strip down this van so it can't be ID'd. We'll dump the bodies in the swamp.
Hey! Hey!
They're scum, Dana, and no one's gonna miss them. You wanna go to prison for the rest of your life? For them? You get started on the van. Get the other one.
Ortiz marches away. Dana appears to be in shock.
Mr. Hastings, the president's on the line.
Thank you. Mrs. Hastings.
Mr. Hastings, I'm here with Rob Weiss. I was told you have urgent news.
Yes, ma'am.
We received a call from Farhad Hassan.
for Rod?
Yes. As we suspected, he was trying to smuggle the nuclear rods out of the country. The people he's working with have turned against him.
What do we know?
Well, Farad believes they want to use the rods to construct a dirty bomb and set it off somewhere here in New York City.
Why would they do this?
Between Hassan's crackdowns and CTU, we've backed them into a corner. This is their response.
Do you believe him?
Yes, I do. Farad is turning himself in. He's agreed to help us prevent this attack.
Where is Farad now?
He's in a warehouse just outside the city near Forest Hills. I've enlisted Jack Bauer to lock him down. Now, Madam President, the men who turned against Farad are covert assets for the IRK. If we can get access to the IRK intelligence files, Farad may be able to help us ID these men. It will put us that much closer to tracking them down.
Those files are the lifeblood of Hassan's intelligence operation. He'll never hand them over, especially in his current frame of mind. Hell, the man's gone off the deep end.
Well, maybe this will pull him out of it. Tell Hassan we have found his brother and I need to speak to him immediately. Contact Tim Woods at Homeland. Have him put together a briefing. I need to know exactly what we're facing if, God forbid, this attack happens. Thank you, Mr. Hastings. I'll be in the council chamber.
Yes, Madam President.
Mr. Weiss.
Yeah.
Are we alone?
Yeah. What is it?
I want to let you know that I've decided not to pursue charges against Renee Walker.
What? Why not? I told you.
We have a lot more to worry about right now than blaming Walker.
Walker murdered a valuable lead that might have gotten us to those nuclear rods.
You're not hearing me. We have a new lead now, Farad Hassan. And that is what I am pursuing. You want to replace me as head of CTU? Be my guest.
But until you do,
stay the hell out of my way.
Hastings,
I'll let
you're
you
making...
know when Bauer reaches Farad.
Hastings hangs up. Weiss, beside himself, hits the speakerphone and then the wall. 107, a van speeds along. In the rear sit Jack and the TAC team.
Okay, Farad Hassan is located on the northeast corner of the warehouse. We're gonna have to move fast because he's injured. Gang, Lynch, you're gonna go in from the south. Owen and I will cover your flank.
Understood.
As soon as we've got him locked down, we're gonna initiate our interrogation. CTU's gonna upload files on probable suspects. I need that available on the computer as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bauer, we're getting a call right up through CTU. It's Farad's son.
Come on, speaker. Mr. Jack Bauer, go ahead.
How close are you?
10 minutes out. Are you okay?
There's someone here. They're close. They're looking for me. Please, hurry.
President Taylor waits tensely. Hassan enters the room.
Madam President, I'm told you have my brother. What happened?
Please. He called CTU and surrendered himself.
I don't understand.
The men that Farad was working with turned against him, and they have taken the nuclear rods. He believes that they intend to construct a dirty bomb to attack this city. Now, apparently, these men are members of your covert intelligence operations here in the United States.
I find that hard to believe.
Your brother has no reason to lie. By turning himself in, he's facing the death penalty. We have to assume he's telling the truth. I need for you to give us intelligence files for every asset you have in this country so Farad can identify these terrorists. Mr. President, I have given you a great deal of latitude to sort out your domestic situation. And now there is a threat to my homeland, and I need your cooperation.
I suggest you turn Farad over to me and let my people question him. We'll get the answers you need.
There's no time for that. There's a CTU team moving on Farad as we speak. They need to question him on site. I need the files.
What you're asking is a serious breach of our security.
I understand that. But you need to understand that if this radiological attack takes place, I will be forced to retaliate.
You will attack my country.
I will have no choice. I need those files, and I need them now.
Hassan continues staring dumbfounded at Taylor, who levelly maintains eye contact.
I'll call my acting head of security. You'll get the files in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Nabil sits in the front passenger seat of a car. Another man drives. In the rear sits Taryn, who keeps a wary eye on Nabil. He leans forward secretively and pulls out a small key concealed in the upholstery of the back of the driver's seat. He applies it to his handcuffs, casting another careful glance at Nabil.
I want you to know, Taryn, that I don't believe you are guilty of treason. But I have no choice but to follow orders.
You don't have to explain yourself, Nabil. I would do the same thing in your position. I don't hold any of this against you.
He continues working the lock.
Whatever happens to me, you must not blame yourself. Never forget that.
I appreciate that.
As Nabil basks in this exoneration, Taryn slides out a pistol. He holds it to Nabil's head.
Don't move.
What are you doing?
Nabil, give me your weapon. Now, slowly, two fingers.
Come on.
Nabil complies.
Driver, pull over here.
110, the vehicle pulls up in a back street.
Remove your seatbelts, put your hands on your head. Both of you.
Taryn gets out from the back seat while the others hold their hands on their heads.
Get out of the car, now. Don't move. Give me the keys.
Put your hands down. Taryn, don't do this. You'll only make things worse for yourself.
You know what they'll do to me at our embassy. It can't be any worse.
Nabil looks to Taryn and holds up his phone.
This President Hassan,
give it to me. Come on!
Nabil unclips his earpiece and hands over the phone.
Let's go, in the back. Put it up. Take out your cuffs, lock yourselves down.
The driver and Nabil prepare to cuff themselves prior to being locked in the boot. Hassan anxiously holds his phone to his ear.
Nabil isn't answering. Where is he?
Transporting Ted into the embassy.
Keep trying to reach him on his mobile. If he doesn't answer, send a security team to track him.
Yes, sir.
And contact Colonel Al-Janis. Tell him on my authority to give CTU access to the files in question.
Yes, sir.
Taryn stows his two captives in the boot of the vehicle and pulls the cover over them. He pulls out his mobile and dials. Kyla exits a lift into a lobby area and takes the call.
Hello?
It's me. Where are you?
I'm leaving the UN right now. Is everything all right?
Yes, it worked. Meet me at the hotel.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I love you, Kyla. I'll see you soon.
Taryn sprints away, leaving the men in the locked boot. He appears to ditch something in a waste bin. 112. End of part one. Part two, 117. Hastings paces in his office.
Go ahead, Mr. Hastings.
All right. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Our field team is approaching the south entrance. Stay where you are until they secure the site.
He's almost on me. Stay here.
Do not move until they lock down that shooter. Do you understand me? Farad. Farad. Farad, talk to me.
Farad, in desperation, breaks cover. His pursuer spots him and shoots him down. The TAC team pour onto the site. The gunman runs. Jack leads the troops out of the van, his gun drawn. He directs them to fan out.
Over here!
They find Farad.
Medic! Come on! Medic!
That's him, that's Farad. Owen, take your team and sweep the area. Chloe, we've got Farad, but he's been hit. I need those files immediately.
IRK intelligence just sent them over.
Good.
The gunman re-enters the warehouse and makes a call. Samir answers his phone.
Yes?
It's done.
Farad is no longer a problem.
Are you sure?
I shot him twice, but the police arrived and I had to get out of there.
You know where to find us.
Yes.
Samir and his men are in some kind of cafe.
Mr. Bauer, speak to me. We got two large caliber slugs to the abdomen. He's bleeding out. I don't think he's going to make it to the hospital.
Do whatever you have to do to stabilize him. We need to talk to him now. Go!
Team, we found their truck, but there's no sign of the rods.
119. Members of the team move into the warehouse where the gunman has taken refuge. They sweep through the semi-lit interior.
Let me know as soon as these files are uploaded. Mr. Hassan, in a few seconds, I'm going to show you photographs of covert operatives working for your country within the United States. I need you to identify the men who stole the nuclear rods from you. Can you do that for us?
Yes.
Are those files uploaded yet?
Almost.
Come on.
Blood pressure's dropping. We got a rapid heartbeat.
What the hell is happening?
He's going into shock. Give me 30 cc's epinephrine.
You keep that man alive. Do you understand me?
Keep him alive. Let me do my job.
Fahad seems to be in crisis. Vice approaches President Taylor.
Please make that your top priority. Right away.
The telepresence conference is ready, Madam President.
Thank you.
President Taylor sits down in front of a bank of three television conference screens. Tim Woods appears on the central one.
Good to see you, gentlemen.
Madam President, Brian Hastings at CTU has brought us up to speed, and we're ready to review some specifics with you.
Good. I'm listening.
If you would refer to your monitor and the diagram of Midtown Manhattan. According to CTU, the stolen nuclear rods have a maximum explosive yield of 300 pounds. That's enough radiological material to contaminate approximately 1 square mile. If the device were detonated in a more densely populated area of Manhattan, we could be looking at casualties in the tens of thousands. Dr. Landry?
Well, most of the deaths would be from severe radiation poisoning. The remainder of the victims would expire from radiation-induced illnesses, primarily leukemia and other cancers.
We also have to consider that the affected area would be rendered uninhabitable for approximately 40 years.
Obviously, a citywide evacuation is out of the question.
That's right. There are millions of people on this island with few points of egress. It would take days to get them out. Not to mention that going public with this information would cause mass panic.
I agree. We need to keep this threat from the public for now. Focus our efforts on making sure that this attack never happens.
CTU believes the nuclear rods are still outside the city, so they're fortifying radiation detection efforts at the bridges and tunnels. We are also hardening high-value targets such as the financial district, landmarks, subways.
We can't ignore that the UN may also be a target. Given the danger, I think we should evacuate the entire building. We can resume the conference from a safe location.
Taylor agonizes.
All right. Inform the delegates of the situation. Thank you, gentlemen.
Madam President?
The screens go dark. Taylor sits back in her chair. Hassan paces nervously.
CTU has your brother in custody. He's being shot. They're trying to stabilize him.
Yes?
Sir, Agent Rahim is calling for you. He says he's located Nabil.
Put him through.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President.
We found Nabil and his driver locked down in the back of their vehicle.
Tarun has escaped.
What?
Nabil wishes to speak to you, sir.
Yes, okay, put him on.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. Tarun had a gun with him. I don't understand how.
Are you saying somebody helped him escape?
It would seem so. But, Mr. President, there's something else you need to know. Right after he escaped, I overheard Tarun on the phone. I believe he was speaking to your daughter.
Hassan goes off speakerphone.
Kyla, are you sure about this?
Yes, sir. It sounded like he was going to meet her somewhere in the city.
Okay.
Hassan hangs up, dumbfounded. He casts a look at his security man. He takes out his mobile and dials. 1:23, Kyla walks down the corridor of a hotel. She takes out her mobile and kills the call.
Kyla, call me back. Call me back, Kyla.
Hassan, exasperated beyond measure, hangs up. Kyla arrives at the door she is seeking. Tarun opens it.
Come inside.
She enters the room, removes her coat, and turns to Tarun.
Oh, thank God you're all right.
They embrace.
Oh.
I've contacted an American lawyer I know who's an expert at international law. He's agreed to meet us in 2 hours.
This is such a terrible situation. Yet I've never felt so happy.
I feel the same.
They smile at each other and then kiss. She hitches herself up, wrapping her legs around his waist.
Ooh.
The medic gets up from by Fahad and crosses to Jack.
Mr. Bauer, we did our best. He didn't make it.
Thanks.
swept the area, sir. It's clear. No hostiles. No trace of the nuclear rods.
Copy that. C2, this is Bauer. We lost him. Farad's dead.
Damn it.
I still think we've got another play. Whoever shot Farad couldn't confirm that he was killed. We came up on him too fast. They don't know how badly he was wounded.
So what are you proposing, Jack?
I'm saying that we use Farad as dead bait. Leak it to the press that we've got him in custody and he survived. We're transporting him to a local hospital where authorities are going to question him. They'll have to make a move on him. He knows too much.
Sounds like a Hail Mary.
Right now, it's the only play we've got. But if they make a move on Farad, which I think they will, we'll be waiting for him. Mr. Hastings, you said you wanted me until this was resolved. This is it.
We have Hassan's intelligence files. We can scan and cross-reference with facial recognition software, maybe spot the terrorists before they attack.
All right, Jack. It's not exactly standard procedure, ferrying a dead man's body across the city, but
I am willing to give it a shot.
We'll figure out a hospital route and put a press statement together.
You get ready on your end.
Okay, thank you. Get that body ready for transport. Owen, assemble your men. Briefing in less than five.
Yes, sir.
125, end of part two.
Aerial one is in position over the route, sir. Sniper teams have checked in. They're all in place.
129. Dana and Ortiz work to cover their traces at the scene. They have bundled Nick and Kevin in sleeping bags.
Come on, hurry up.
They load Kevin's sleeping bag with rocks. They lug Kevin's body the few feet down the bank and into the swamp. Up to their waists in the soupy water, they press down on the body to submerge it. Dana looks down as Kevin's face disappears below the surface. Tears roll down her cheeks. Ortiz looks at her disdainfully.
It's over, Dana. Let's get the other body and get cleaned up before we head back to CTU.
Dana turns and follows Ortiz back up the bank.
What about us?
I don't know.
Ortiz turns his attention to lugging Nick's body down the bank. Samir and his men gather around a TV screen.
We have just received word from New York counter-terrorist headquarters that Fahad Hassan, brother of Islamic Republic of Khamistan President Omar Hassan, has been found alive. We're told that Fahad Hassan contacted CTU a short while ago and agreed to turn himself into authorities. CTU responded immediately, but when they arrived, they found him shot. No word yet on how Fahad Hassan sustained these gunshot injuries, but we do know that he is expected to survive, and he's being transported to St. Julian's Hospital under heightened security, where he will be questioned by authorities.
This is impossible. I shot him twice.
But you didn't make sure he was dead.
I told you I didn't have time.
I'll make this right. I'll go back.
You're too conspicuous. Farad will be heavily protected.
But if Farad talks, the authorities could find us before we can build the weapon.
Samir rounds on him.
You think we don't know the implications? We're sending Marcos. His mother's American. They won't suspect him. He's in the truck with the rods.
132. The young Marcos paces in the rear of the van, casting repeated glances at the ominous metal crate. He pulls out his mobile phone and dials out.
Hello?
Mom, it's me.
Marcos?
Yes. Listen, I can't talk for long.
What is it? Are you okay?
I'm fine, Mom. I need you to do something for me. It's very important.
Okay. Okay, what is it?
I need you to get up right now and leave the city. Go to Aunt Shelley's.
Aunt Shelley's?
Just do it for me, okay? Don't ask me why. Leave right now.
Marcos, this is crazy. I'm not gonna leave the apartment in the middle of the night for no reason.
There's a reason. I just can't tell you what it is right now. Please, Mom, do this for me.
Where are you?
Don't worry about me.
Well, I'm not going anywhere unless I know you're all right.
I'll meet you at Aunt Shelley's and I'll explain everything. Go, Mom, now.
Okay, I'm leaving.
I have to go. I love you.
He hurriedly folds up his phone and stashes it in his pocket as Samir climbs into the hold of the van.
Are you ready, my friend?
Yes.
Good. It's time.
1:34. Fahad's body is rushed to an ambulance.
You need to keep him looking alive the entire way. You're all clear on what you need to do?
Yes, sir.
Jack, Hastings.
Go ahead.
Coordinated with news outlets, they put out the false report of Farhad's arrest and transport to the hospital for questioning. The hook has been baited.
Okay, the most logical place for them to attack is when we're en route. That's where we're going to be our most vulnerable.
Well, NYPD and SWAT are mobilizing now. They're going to be embedded at strategic points along the way. They're also securing St. Julian's Hospital.
Copy that. Tell the support teams it is imperative that we take these terrorists alive.
They've been briefed, Jack.
Okay, we're moving out. You two take the follow van. Owen, you're with me in the ambulance.
Copy that.
He turns to Owen.
Hey, you all right?
Yes, sir.
Look, I know you and your men have not had a lot of field experience, and we've put you in an extreme situation. But I promise you, if we are attacked, every part of this route is covered. We've got a lot of support out there.
I'm fine, Mr. Bauer. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Jack, Owen, and others are installed in the ambulance. The back door is closed and the vehicle speeds away under escort. 1:35. 1:39. Taryn and Kyla are getting it on their hotel bed. Rob Weiss approaches President Taylor.
A delegation is preparing to head to Fort McGuire Air Force Base. We'll be setting up a temporary op center there where we'll be able to monitor the situation.
And the other delegates?
UN security will coordinate the evacuation. Everything should go smoothly. Can I get you anything, Madam President?
No. Thank you, Rob. You have done more than enough. I'm just sorry that your first few months on the job have been so challenging.
I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Hassan enters.
I'll see you in a moment.
I spoke to one of my aides. He told me my brother is dead.
I'm afraid so.
When CTU is finished with their operation, I would like Farhad's remains to be returned to my country. Personally, I don't care where his body rots, but my mother will want a proper burial.
I'll see that it's done. But right now, Mr. President, we need to evacuate the UN.
I'm not leaving when I'm president. I'm staying here.
I don't understand.
My daughter, Kyla, is missing.
Missing?
Kyla is romantically involved with my former head of security. She's run off with him.
Tell me what we can do to help.
I appreciate that, but my security teams are searching for her now.
I understand how worried you must be, but there is nothing that you can do to help her by staying here. Please, come where you'll be safe.
I can't, Madam President. She's somewhere in the city with no idea that a nuclear threat exists. I won't go anywhere until she's been found.
All right. I understand. I will talk to you very soon.
Thank you.
Having shaken Hassan warmly by the hand, President Taylor walks out, leaving him looking utterly bereft. At CTU,
west on 6th Street, pulling into the hospital.
1:42. The ambulance and the escorting SUVs pull into a car park. The ambulance is backed up to a ramp. Armed troopers get out of the other vehicles. The rear doors of the ambulance are opened.
Chloe, bring up the hospital security feed. Get facial recognition up and running.
Chloe pulls up CCTV footage of the A&E reception area.
CTU, this is Bauer. We're moving into position. Farhad's body has been taken to his room. Let's go!
Secure these doors.
The hospital is turned into a military command center. Chloe scrutinizes footage from the hospital corridors. She focuses on an African-American orderly and runs the face recognition software on his image. She turns her attention to a white male. Hastings hovers over her screen.
Bring up the exterior cameras.
A gray saloon car pulls up at the hospital. Marcus drives the car carefully into a parking space. He pulls from his pocket a small electronic device. Pressing a button, a red light comes on. He looks carefully all around and then undoes the zip of his jacket, revealing a waistcoat of wires and explosives strapped around his chest. He zips the jacket back up. He gets out of the car. Inside the hospital, Jack takes a phone call.
Bauer.
Jack, it's me.
Hey.
I've been released. I'm free to go.
Good.
Chloe told me what you did. You leveraged Hastings. Said that you would head up field ops until this crisis was over, in exchange for CTU dropping any possible charges against me. I didn't ask you to do that, Jack.
I know you didn't. But look, someone in the White House is trying to set you up to take responsibility for the failure of our mission, and I couldn't let that happen. Because you did nothing wrong. Do you understand me? Renee, you need to let this go. You're not responsible for what's happening.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, I meant what I said earlier. When this is over, I want to be there for you. With you.
I'd like that.
Good. I'll have a CTU agent take you to my apartment. I'll meet you there when this is over.
All right, Jack.
Look, I'm getting chatter over the comm. I gotta go.
Okay. Bye.
144.
Mr. Bauer, go ahead.
Jack.
Facial recognition just picked up a match with the IRK intelligence files. His name is Marcos Alzacar. American-born, working undercover with the IRK for the last 3 years.
Where is he?
Approaching the side entrance. Brown hair, blue scrubs, wearing a dark blue jacket.
Copy that.
Hold on, Jack. He's got something in his hand. It looks like a remote detonator. I think he's wearing a vest.
Chloe, can you disarm it from there?
Possibly. If I can pin down the detonator model, I may be able to scramble the arming code using the transmitter of the mobile comm.
Get on it. Owen, you've got a man approaching your position. He's got brown hair, he's wearing blue scrubs and a dark blue jacket.
Yeah, I see him.
He's our hitter. We believe he's wearing an explosive vest with a remote detonator.
Okay, what should I do?
Stay calm and do whatever he asks. CTU techs are gonna try and disarm the vest from off-site.
Okay.
Owen. You can do this. Just try and slow him down as much as possible. We've got you covered every inch of the way.
Yes, sir.
Owen looks like he's definitely in the wrong job.
Excuse me, this is a secure area. Gonna need to see some ID.
Listen to me very carefully. I have a bomb. Give me your weapon right now or I'll kill us both. Weapon now.
Okay. Just take it easy.
Slowly.
Owen hands the gun to Marcos, who stares now with mad eyes. He stashes the weapon in his belt and then peers through the glass doors.
Where is Farhad Hassan?
Third floor.
Take me to him. If anyone asks who I am, you say I'm a doctor and I'm cleared.
Come on, son.
Okay.
Move.
Okay.
Go.
They head inside. 147, end of part 3. Part 4, 151. A small jet sits ready for takeoff. A woman in a headscarf walks down the aisle of the cabin, which is empty apart from Hassan's wife. She takes out her phone, checks the caller ID, and answers.
Hello.
Dahlia? It's me.
You need to talk.
Don't try to change my mind, Omar. I told you, I'm leaving.
I haven't called to change your mind. I've called because Kyla may be in danger.
What do you mean?
She's run away with Harry. They've been seeing each other.
I know.
How long have you known?
What difference does it make, Omar? What kind of danger is she in?
Farhad is dead. The nuclear material he tried to acquire is in the hands of the terrorists. They're going to use it here in Manhattan.
No. How did this happen?
I'll explain later. But right now, you need to call Kyla. I've left messages, but she won't return my calls. But she might talk to you. Please, Talia. She's angry with me. I had Darren arrested. I thought he was part of the conspiracy.
All right. But Omar, what about you?
Don't worry about me. Just help me find our daughter.
I'll try.
She pauses, then turns to the stewardess.
Sabrina, I need the captain.
Chloe, still with Hastings at her shoulder, monitors the progress of Marcos and Owen through the corridors of the hospital. Marcos walks just behind Owen, clutching the detonator in his right hand. He casts cautious glances all around. Owen continues, his face frozen in fear. He presses the button for the lift. Marcos follows him inside, staying very close and staring at Owen's profile with his crazy eyes. Jack and two men run up the stairs.
Chloe, it's Jack. We're moving to the third floor. Where are we at the vest?
I've identified the detonator, Jack. It's German-made, K7 variant. That model is used in a lot of configurations. I'm going to need a visual on the vest.
Copy that. Owen, it's Jack. C2 cannot disarm the vest unless they see it. I need you to get the hostile underneath one of the surveillance cameras and make him show it to you. I repeat, C2 cannot disarm the vest unless they see it. You ready?
Jack leads his team out through the door from the stairwell and into a corridor. They move cautiously down the corridor, weapons drawn.
Team 3, they're approaching your position.
154. Jack and his men disperse as Owen passes through double doors into the corridor, closely followed by Marcos. Owen spots a camera on the ceiling. He slows up and then turns towards Marcos.
What are you doing?
I want to see proof.
Proof of what?
A bomb. I don't believe you have one.
You don't keep moving, you're going to find out. Right now.
Farhad, you show me.
I said move.
No.
Owen looks scared but holds Marcos's demented gaze. Marcos falters ever so slightly. Owen seems to take courage from this. Finally, Marcos opens his jacket.
Owen did it, Jack. I've got a visual on the vest.
Now move. Okay.
We're set in position near Farhad's room. What's the status?
It's a DDR configuration. I just need to pull up the frequency of the receiver.
Chloe, you've got about 30 seconds before they reach that room.
Images of models flash up at high speed on Chloe's screen.
Got it. 3.15 gigahertz standard GSM.
Running through the mobile comm now. This will take a few seconds.
Yeah, stand by for assault.
Owen leads Marcos to Farhad's room.
Come on, Arlo. Now!
Marcos barricades the door. Owen looks up fearfully from the floor. Marcos approaches Farhad's bed.
That's it. It's done.
Jack, the vest is disarmed. Move in.
Jack and his men rush out of hiding and head for Farhad's room. Marcos clutches the detonator. He presses the button. His eyes become, if possible, even madder. Owen goes for him, only to be pistol-whipped back to the floor. Marcos empties his pistol into Farhad's midriff. The monitors continue falsely registering a heartbeat. Jack breaks in through the door and ducks to avoid Marcos's last bullet.
It's all right. It's all right. Lower your weapons. It's all right. I'm going to put my gun away. We're not here to hurt you.
We just want to talk. Stay calm. It's all right. We just want to talk to you.
Marcus leaps through the window.
No! No!
Miraculously surviving the 20-foot drop onto concrete, Marcus crawls away as Jack peers down.
He's still moving. Notify the perimeter.
Jack leaps out onto a car roof and then onto the concrete and chases after Marcus.
Do not fire! He's unarmed!
Marcus limps away through the hospital. Passing through a doorway into a corridor, he spots something in the room to his left. Jack comes after him through the doorway. He spots Marcus shutting himself into a gigantic tank with a sealed metal door. The terrorist seals himself in. Jack advances, gun drawn. Inside the tank, Marcus rips off the metal leg of a couch and uses it to jam the lock. Jack peers at the live screen by the door and then strains in vain to turn the handle.
Bauer, I'm in the east wing. Suspect has barricaded himself in some kind of pressure chamber. I need a team down here now to help me open the door.
Kyla and Taryn are now naked in bed and really getting it on. Hassan sits, utterly dejected. President Taylor and others are evacuating from the UN building. Ortiz drives Dana. Samir takes the call.
Yes?
It was a trap. Murad was already dead.
What?
The police were waiting. They tried to ambush me, but I got away.
What are you?
I locked myself in some kind of oxygen chamber. They can't get in here. At least not yet.
You know what you must do?
I can't. I think they scrambled the arming code.
You need to set it off manually.
I don't know how to do that.
I'll talk you through it. Can you open the detonator control?
Yeah, I think so. It's gonna take a minute.
Work quickly. You cannot let them take you alive.
Jack approaches the tank door.
Can you hear me? I just want to talk.
Marcus presses various buttons, seemingly in an attempt to turn off the intercom. His mad, staring face looms onto the screen. He swings a metal bar at the controls and the screen dies. Jack stares. 2 a.m. The end.